Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin on the, I just realized, on the American Tech Network instead of the British Tech Network. We are here just, wow. Yeah, there's no one outside the United States, outside the continental United States even, on the show today. We have taken over. We are like a parasite to the world. Yeah. Anyhow, it's great to be here on a Friday, and I know it's Friday because I'm hanging out with cool people, and I haven't had breakfast yet. So yeah, that makes it Friday.
Do you want us to get on with this so we can you can hang out with those cool people?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. So, but you know, before I get to hang out with, well, okay, spoiler, you're the cool people. So Ben, no pressure. And speaking of Ben, how's it going?
With the exception of my cat trying to video bomb the show, pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. And Chuck, how are you?
I am good. I am good. It's Friday. We just had a nasty little thunderstorm come through here that blinked the lights a couple times, and I was a little concerned, but it has passed off. I've got power, so here I am.
Awesome. Awesome. It's so Chuck, the guy that recharges all of us.
It's always fun when you pull up the weather radar and you just see this blob that's growing and turning colors. You know, like the bad colors, and it's right on a track for your house, and you just know that it's going to hit.
That just shows a skull and crossbones.
If it gets to that point, then I'm going to the basement.
Yep, that checks out. Yep. Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and yes, Chuck, you're welcome. Because that storm came from here last night. So
yes,
lovely.
I am doing very well. Took another day off. Can you believe it? I'm off again, and I'm going to be off next Friday. Okay. I'm taking my Fridays. You know, I got those days. I might as well use them. So
you're like almost like having a European here on the show with all the days off you get.
Yeah, well, I got a good amount of them, so I might as well use them, right?
Absolutely, take advantage of that.
Another holiday coming up very soon is Global Wellbeing Day. We're getting that soon, so I know Chuck loves that day off we get the two days off every year.
Just my head explodes every time.
Yep. Well, that's June because 6th. You need a well-being day off, Chuck.
Yeah, June 6th, which is going to be WWDC bingo. So, glad to be here, and just about publishing the show we did last night. We had a great show on In Touch, and let's do it here.
Awesome. And speaking of In Touch, yes, it's true. Dave lets us take his show notes from last night, so we can pick the best articles to talk about today. And sometimes because the news can still carry on even after In Touch with iOS, we'll end up with an article that actually wasn't from Dave's show notes. Turns out that's the fact. Or that, I should have had breakfast before the show.
Mm-hmm. Or coffee.
I do have my tea. So at least there's that. Hold on. I'll pretend like I'm getting all my poop in a group and making my brain work. Okay, there we are. There we go. I feel so much more on task now. All right. We do have an article today that didn't come from Dave's show notes because it's news that came out this morning. So the great thing is Dave's wondering, what in the world did Jeff find? And is it actually suitable to talk about on the air? Mm-hmm. Totally legit concern. Well, crap. Dave already figured it out.
I don't think everybody figured it out.
I knew right away.
Of course you did. Anyhow, Marty, how's it going for you?
Well, Dave sent this thunderstorm to my house at around 5 o'clock in the morning. And my dog likes to bark at incoming thunder. So I got up at 5 this morning to enjoy the downpour that we had and said, "Go to Chuck's house. Go to Chuck's house." And it made it over to Chuck's house. So I'm doing okay. It's Friday. I love Fridays.
Yeah, awesome. And it just occurred to me, Ben and I are both west of the what we will now call the Chuck storm. So we avoided that weather bullet.
Yesterday.
Someday we'll have Chuck again.
Maybe
the day after tomorrow.
That's something I aspire to. Thank you. Thank
No,
you,
I see
Marty.
what you did there, Marty. Well done. Hold on. I'm writing down Chuck Ageddon because because that sounds like a great show title. And it's one of those titles that by the time we get to the end, I will have forgotten. So I've got it written down right now. All right. So, I guess we should hop into some of this news. And here's the deal, everyone. For today's show, which is Friday, May 16th, the live stream is not functioning, and Patrice is traveling. So she's not in a place where she can easily figure out what went wrong and why the server just isn't responding this morning. So, when you go to look for the show notes later to find the links to all the articles we're talking about, I think we have a way to get them manually entered so that at least the links are there for today. Hopefully that's the case. And if not, sorry, but that's above my gray matter capacity to figure out. We rely on Patrice for a lot. Without her, I think everything we're doing would just simply fall apart around us. And I guess it goes to show you, if you want something to actually work, put a woman in charge. There you go. Anyhow, first story for today. This is the one that I alluded to, and Dave immediately dropped the same link I had found this morning into our private chat, which will hopefully become the chat log that everyone else can look at later. Apple has been named the world's most valuable brand again, and this is from the 2025 edition of Kantar's Brand Z report. And so the ranking is based on an analysis of brand performance, and their valuation methodology. That's easy for most people to say, but for me, it's okay. It's just a little after 9 in the morning, I'm just pretending like my tea kicked in. So, valuation methodology. It's kind of a tough one for me. Anyhow, what they do is they look at the financial performance, brand perception, and they have holy crap, is that right? 4.5 million customer interviews across 522 categories in 54 markets. Wow, that's a big numbers spreadsheet, because I'm sure that's what they're using for this, right?
If they're smart.
Right, if they're smart. According to the report, and now I'm just reading from the MacRumors article, because why should I have to invent words myself when someone wrote them down for me? According to the report, Apple's dominance reflects sustained consumer trust, premium positioning, and successful diversification across hardware, software, and services. The company's brand value now constitutes approximately 12% of the total value of the Brand Z Global Top 100, which stands at $10.7 trillion. Dollars, US dollars in 2025. So that's the setup. Now I'll sit back and drink some tea and let all of you knock it out of the park. Okay, and thanks for joining us today. It's been a great show.
Apparently, crime pays.
Oh, ouch.
If anyone was going to take us there, it was going to be you, Ben. Well done.
Yeah. The guy with sword
sticking out of his hand.
Yeah, what does this? I mean, we're playing with people in the clouds, and you know, we have a really good Asian restaurant down the street. Everybody loves it. Everybody goes to it. They're never going to make it in the top 100 because the money involved, so what does this give a company other than bragging rights? And what does that mean?
Marty, I would think not just bragging rights, but somebody in the investment community, look, whether it's number one, number three, number five, somebody in the investment community has to be paying attention to this. And as they try to calculate, you know, the non-financial assets that any company has. And so being named, you know, look, number one is always nice, but anybody that's in the top 10 of any list is, you know, something to pay attention to.
But it's the usual players that we always see, and not too much movement on it. Microsoft or Google's 2, Microsoft's 3, Amazon's 4, Nvidia's 5.
And Apple's doomed.
They made all the money, but they're doomed.
Yeah.
Well, see, some of this, when I read this morning, I really kind of kicked back and thought, Apple is under so much scrutiny. Apple gets so much in our world. And I'm quick to say that because I think that's something we forget, that outside of our world, the criticism is not nearly as harsh or it's not paid attention to because Apple is still delivering products that people want. And that's kind of the bottom line. And so, you know, it makes me think, okay, oh, by the way, Epic Games is, I don't think, anywhere near this list. You know, I'm not sure Spotify is. I really didn't look for it when I read it.
Well, Apple won't let either of them into the list.
Well, that's...
Oh, wait, you know, wait, that's the App Store. Yeah, I'm sorry. App Store. I'm sorry.
Yeah. See, I think you just made my point. Mm. You know, so I feel like Apple's reputation is untarnished by a lot of the things that the tech web sees it as being tarnished by. That's just my take on it. Otherwise, they would not only would they not be in number one, they'd be dropping farther back down.
Okay, good points. And
the comments on this article are cruel.
I have not even bothered to look at the comments. But Marty,
never look at the comments.
I wanted to address your question. I think another aspect of the value in reports like this is that it helps set a barometer, if you will, for overall customer satisfaction with specific brands. And when you look at the trends for reports like this over time, it can give you a picture of how well received the companies are, which then ties back into what Chuck was saying about investors. So, but now, thanks to Marty, I'm going to click the comments link and, yeah, the biggest brand with the smallest heart, quite an achievement.
But, you know, though, to Marty's point, I'm just reading the summary here, but Nvidia, Huawei, VMware, Xiaomi, and Instagram are the top risers, achieving more than 100% brand value growth. So, you know, yeah, they're not up in the top five, but you know, they're pushing up. ChatGPT is the newest and is the new highest new entry in the top 100, followed by Stripe and Chipotle. That's interesting. Mm. I just had Chipotle last night.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, I want to read another one of the comments just because Oh my God, people. Marty, thank you for turning me on to this.
Yeah. Mac
On
rumors
its
gonna
current
keep it going
path,
next. Yeah.
Apple is turning into the Walmart of the technology world.
God.
Well, I mean, if they start wearing fruit-colored vests to work.
Yeah, well, they kind of do, right? No, wait. No, that's Walmart. Never mind. It's
I
hard to
love
tell
the
them apart.
smallest, yeah, I love the smallest heart comment, or the, I'm saying that sarcastically, because all the things that they do with Apple pride and, you know, their engagement in the communities, local communities, I think is overlooked by folks in the comments section.
That's actually a really good point.
I mean, it's all what have you done for me lately? Yeah.
Yeah. But that said, how many of us personally know someone who's had a an event of some sort where their Apple Watch or iPhone was critical to their health, like a health emergency, saved their life, whatever. Yeah. And Marty, Ben, me, I have a friend who discovered he was having a heart attack because of the alerts on his Apple Watch. And anyhow, we all have either personally or know someone who's had a life-saving event, if you will, thanks to an Apple Watch. That's not something you really hear from or about other technology companies.
And you know, we've talked to sh on the show about how Apple does a poor job, at least in our opinion, of promoting certain things like Apple TV Plus shows and various other things. They don't do a great job of promoting their philanthropic efforts either. I mean, you know, how many times have they donated significant money to natural disasters? And there's a press release, and it usually goes by in about 30 seconds,
Well,
and is
and
forgotten.
the biggest contribution they're making right now to natural disasters is Epic.
That was a good one, Marty. I like that one. You know, I really think it's interesting that, you know, Apple really is product focused, and sometimes their PR is questionable. To sometimes their detriment, sometimes to their benefit.
I think that's a cultural holdover from Steve Jobs,
Could be.
because he was really adamant about downplaying their philanthropic efforts. But yeah, I think if actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it would be a double-edged sword for them, Chuck, if they were more aggressive in a positive way about talking about the good things that they're doing to help communities. It'd be good because more people would be aware, but then we would end up with the other side, you know, like saying that Apple's well on its way to becoming the Walmart of the technology world. They would be bagging on Apple, saying they're doing these philanthropic things for the sole purpose of getting publicity.
Oh,
Yeah, you
Jeff,
can't
no
win.
question. Yeah, no question. I mean, frankly, it's hard to imagine they would draw any more fire than they already draw. But I agree with you. That'd just be one more place that people could attack them. And so, you know, it may just be better to try to take the higher ground and do what they do the way they do it. But I also think that maybe more people than you realized, because your point was a great one, Jeff, that we all know somebody that has had some kind of emergency. And I haven't had a health emergency, but I had someone in my sphere who sustained a bad fall. And, you know, so it's more than just the heart health in some of those. And who knows how many health issues have been prevented because Apple Watch has us paying a little bit more attention, even a little bit more attention to our fitness and our sleep and some of the things that can really stave off some of the big health events. So I know I'm always accused of being an Apple apologist, but I guess I tend to look at, the glass being half full. And I feel like, when these things come up, until Apple drops out of the top 10, that's when I think you start to worry.
All right, let's talk about another Apple story and
Hey, Jeff, before we leave this,
no.
I'm going to encourage everyone to go to the link, and if nothing else, and this doesn't have much a lot to do with Apple, download the infographic. The infographic is fascinating, just because I've been sitting here looking at it, and it's like, looking for companies that, looking how they rank in the overall sphere of things, because they not only rank them by number, but they also rank them by industry. And that really gets interesting real quick.
Okay, hold on. I am going to drop a link to that in our private chat so that when we fix the live stream, that link will be there for the archived live chat.
Yeah, you do have to download it, but because it doesn't display on screen. But it is fascinating to see. Forget the changes, just where things rank.
Right. Well, I know when you said, "Hey, before we move on," and I said, "No, just so everyone knows, I wasn't trying to be a jerk to Chuck. If I want to be a jerk to Chuck, I don't need to wait for a show. I can do that anytime."
Yes.
And
And he's good at it too.
I am, but then my dark secret is I'm a jerk to Chuck, and everyone laughs, and then I go in the other room and cry because I feel bad that I was mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I should put something other than tea in my mug in the morning.
Yeah. Welcome to the
Oh, remind me next time I go partying with Ben to make sure he's wearing a bib. Okay.
Wow.
Dave, this story, because you're my car guy, I definitely want your opinion on this. And so CarPlay 2 is now CarPlay Ultra, and from Apple's press release from yesterday, May 15th, it is rolling out today, which is sort of true. It's rolling out in the sense that you can now order, not have purchase and have deliver today, but order an Aston Martin with CarPlay Ultra. So while on one hand it's like, yeah, because everyone can buy an Aston Martin.
A
That's
quarter
not the
million
point.
dollars.
Only $250,000. Doop-a-doop. It's the thing here is that CarPlay 2, excuse me, CarPlay Ultra is now moving beyond the marketing, hey, this is a cool thing that's coming to a car near you. Well, if it's in an Aston Martin, it won't be very near me because why would anyone want me near a car that expensive? But it's actually rolling out. So we've moved into the production phase for CarPlay. And there are some other car makers that are still on the commitment train, if you will. Hyundai, Kia, Genesis. When Apple announced CarPlay 2, there were a bunch of other car makers that were on board. And a lot of those, from what I've read, are still on board. They're just not at a place right now where they're ready to say, okay, coming to a car near you soon. So
Yeah.
right now it looks like CarPlay Ultra is rolling out for people with big pocketbooks, But eventually, I expect we will see that in more affordable cars. Well, Hyundai and Kia, they do offer models that that fall into normal people price ranges.
Yeah, I didn't see Subaru on that list. That's
No,
when
it
it'll
wasn't.
get down to the hoi polloi. Get down to who, to my pops. But I did have this discussion this morning with my wife, and I said, it's a new Apple product. You know how I like new Apple products. And I've saved up enough of my, 3% back that the only problem is it comes attached to an Aston Martin.
She probably
It's
feels cracked up.
yeah, you understand, honey, right? Honey? Honey, where'd she go?
If anybody would like to give me a DBX and a tuxedo, I'd be happy to test this.
That
Well, I
that's
expect
fair.
some YouTube influencers, notably MKBHD, is going to be, I guarantee we'll have that car and be testing it very soon.
Except for he will not be wearing a tuxedo.
No, he won't.
For an Aston Martin, you must be wearing a tuxedo and have a license to kill.
Okay.
All right. So
Bond,
now all I
James
need
Bond.
is Aston Martin. But I've said too much.
I mean,
Dave.
the good thing with this is the fact that they are going to allow the car makers to have flexibility with it. It's not, at first some of the car manufacturers were sitting here saying, oh no, we're not going to have any control of our, just like what GM did. Now we need to go down that road. And they're going to have flexibility to customize it any way they'd like, as far as how the dash looks, how the instruments look. You're going to be controlling the heat, the air, all the things that's what concerns you, when especially when you get a car and you want to change the head of the unit. Well, you lose all that control. You can't do that. So now they're going to integrate everything into one place, because that's all of us ever wanted. We wanted CarPlay, and cars started getting it a number of years ago, and but it was limited. But this is going to be quite a game changer, I think. Once it starts rolling out into the more mainstream vehicles, I'd really be interesting to see where it is.
I think you're right when you call it a game changer. I feel like original CarPlay, the OG CarPlay, that was a game changer. And I expect this will be too. I mean, the ability to have a completely customized dashboard. It's the number of people that I have known over the years that have complained about their dashboard layout. Apparently, I hang out with very sensitive people because if they're complaining about that, anyhow, but the idea that you can create a dashboard that suits your driving needs, that does sound pretty cool. Yeah. And there will be a software update that brings a lot of CarPlay Ultra features to existing CarPlay setups. But you will have limits because, of course, you won't have full car control. You can't change your dashboard. But it's not like people that have existing CarPlay units will be out in the cold.
It's licensed software, but it doesn't come with a license to kill.
Right. Yeah, that
Oh,
costs extra.
these Bond puns.
Yes. I will take a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, and then call a cab.
As you should.
I'm going to bring up one other thing, and that is once again the Apple privacy stance, because now this just one more time we have to look at GM and say, what are they doing? They want your information. The auto manufacturers want your information. Now, I seriously doubt that Apple, if having a CarPlay integrated, is going to reduce any of that from what the car manufacturers have access to or would like. But at least I won't be giving them any information on, well, maybe like where I'm driving, unless I'm using the wrong app, but more importantly, what I'm listening to, what content I'm consuming. So, and I don't know, we're back to the discussion of the echo chamber versus all the normal people out there. How worried are they about that? It feels like I personally am starting to see more awareness of it, of just privacy in general, from my non-tech friends.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one more time that Apple, hopefully they will promote that. They will, you know, use that as a leverage. I'm doubtful, but I'm hopeful.
I think the to Chuck's point, even folks who are Apple users are not aware of the privacy aspects that Apple does compared to other platforms. And in some ways, their assumption is, well, Apple's getting all your information. But they don't know beyond that the privacy issues with it, or the privacy issues as compared to other product lines.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, not only is there the privacy, Apple has set this up so if the temptation from their internal accountants ever became too much to not want to sell that data, they don't even have access to it.
You know, Apple needs to be doing more to promote and explain their privacy policies.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, everything all of you have been saying about this is totally legit. And at the same time, the number of times over the years I have encountered people who are outside of our echo chamber that have intentionally turned off iMessage for Messages app, so they don't have the secure end-to-end, they don't have their blue bubbles, but they've intentionally turned it off because they don't want Apple taking their chats. So they switch to the thing where there's no security and their chats are totally out there in plain text for their cell carrier to go through and do with as they please, hand over to law enforcement, whatever, because they refuse to believe that Apple is protecting their privacy. So then they do the worst thing possible. That's just part of the reason why I think Apple needs to be doing more to promote how they're protecting our privacy, because there are way too many people that just don't get it.
Yeah. Trust me, people, Apple cares more about your privacy than the unknown carrier.
Yeah, right.
And if you wonder why, it's because it is their selling point. Instead of selling you, they are selling the fact that they don't give the information out. So do they have, I'm not going to say an ulterior motive. That's just the way that they've decided to market themselves and the flag that they've decided to follow. Whereas others are just, you know, how much can I get? I mean, I'm constantly amazed at the people that will go into a store and it says, do you want a print receipt or an email receipt? And I'm talking everything from hardware stores to restaurants. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I want I'll take the email receipt. You're handing over your email address. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Then you start to get spam. And, mm-hmm. But the fact that people don't connect that is just still frighteningly prevalent.
And then they totally miss how that started. And they say things like, well, clearly my phone is listening to me. My phone is spying on me because I was in this store and now I'm getting all these emails.
Yep. Yep. They draw the wrong conclusions because they gave it away.
Yep. Hey, before we move on to cool things, I did want to bring up a topic specifically for Dave and Marty. And this is the Wall Street Journal article, clearly well-researched, well thought out and balanced, where they found people who are butt hurt that they bought a Vision Pro when it came out.
Yeah.
They found two people or three people that are butthurt. And the logic behind how they used it and then chose not to use it is just absolutely insane. It is
Yes.
a
There's no
hack
logic.
job article. It's
And I'm
a hack
I'm
job.
shocked it's Wall Street Journal, a very credible news organization that would even publish something like that.
I didn't look this up. Who was the author?
Joseph somebody.
I just wonder if there's anybody we know.
I'm trying to paste the whoops,
Oh,
paste the link in to
it
our
wasn't
private Joanna
chat.
Stern, I'll tell you
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, she would have quit.
There we go. Hey, Apple technology, always reliable. I've done a copy paste with keyboard
You got to
shortcuts.
copy the other link because that one's the behind the paywall.
Oh, that's the paywall link? Crap. Okay.
I forgot to take it
Marty,
out.
you or Dave, you have the gift link.
Yes, it should be in the
Yep.
chat. It should be in the notes.
And which is the one I thought that I had used.
I can put it
Open.
in.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's the first one. No, it's the second one. Second one.
There we go.
You got
Okay,
it. Yep.
so it's in the chat that hopefully
Yes,
will
that
be
one it is.
available to all of you later.
I gotta take that out of my notes before I publish it.
Joseph Pisani?
Yeah.
Is, would that be? Okay. So, yeah, complaints like I
Yeah.
can't wear it more than 20 minutes because it's too heavy for my head.
Yeah, look at all the articles he's authored before
Oh
that.
my
Nothing to do with
God.
technology.
He has written about a
No.
college course devoted to Taylor Swift, a pickle
Yeah.
mascot that went missing, and retail workers who said they were tortured by Mariah Carey's Christmas song.
That's a really
You
credible.
can't make that up. That
No, you
is
can't.
absolutely true. I just read it off the
Okay.
Wall Street Journal website. I want to point out that as someone who did work retail at one point in
I
my
did
life,
too.
you can listen to the Mariah Carey Christmas song for only so long before it becomes a violation of the Geneva Convention. Yeah. I mean, it's
I
a
can hear it in
catchy
my head right
song.
now. You hear the damn song so much during Christmas time.
Yeah, it's I mean it is a very clever song. It was the way it was written
She
is
wrote it.
super smart. Yeah. I mean it's a song that when you hear it in moderation, it's a great little Christmas song, but like so many things, when taken to excess, I can see why there'd be a Wall Street Journal article where they're
Yeah.
talking about retail employees who are tortured. Anyhow, just
Yep.
give those retail employees a Vision Pro and they'll be fine.
And look, with all respect, due respect to Mr. Joseph Bassani, who due respect, I'll let you figure out how much that is. This is what's in your bio. So you or someone has chosen to promote this. And if you're going to take on tech articles, I don't know. I'm struggling with, you need to build your credibility a little Credibility,
bit.
yeah.
Or
I see it happen.
at least give a balanced, I mean, talk to somebody who's using it and continues to use it. You know,
Yes.
create the conversation within the article. Don't just interview. I love one of the comments. I love comments because they're so snarky. These are folks who never went to prom. I'm going back to some of those
Personal.
other articles. He has nothing that relates to technology. Nothing.
Yes, I personally wait for his next article on talking dogs in business.
I just
maybe he was handed the story and had to write it. I don't know. I would like to give anybody the benefit of the doubt because this just feels like it is such a hit piece. It is so, it was the
Oh.
conclusion was drawn first, and then we went out and found people to fill it.
Yeah, it kind of seemed to me it's like okay, we don't want anybody's reputation to go down. So let's go get the fluff writer.
Yeah. Okay. I know that it doesn't matter what the product is. There will always be people that are unhappy with it. So it's not going to be that difficult to find people that that have buyer's remorse on at least some level for buying a Vision Pro. But you can also find people that have buyer's remorse for picking up a Nintendo Switch or an Aston Martin, or it doesn't matter what the product is. You can write a piece like this about it. And nice switch, Marty. It's
Yeah, it's
okay.
obsolete now.
Yeah. Well, perfect, because that makes it the right game console device for me. I
Which
had a Wii, original Wii, all the way up until, oh,
I still
Ben,
have it.
when did, yeah, my original Wii is still sitting over here. Ben, when did you and Kelly shame me into buying a Switch? Was it last year?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds right. And so, of course, now it's obsolete, which means that I'm still keeping true to my character, which is to use an obsolete game device. And okay, Marty, I have a question for you. Now that we've gone down the rabbit hole, do you use your Switch? Do you play it like handheld?
Yeah, I play it well. I play it like handheld. Yeah, I also can throw it up on a monitor that I have if I want to do it through the monitor. I don't play some of the complicated what I think are complicated role play games. I have I've got to look here. I've got Zelda and I've got a couple of those, but I'm doing more like Jeopardy, puzzles, things like that that I could very well just be doing on an iPhone in most
Okay.
cases.
Yeah. Which, by the way, people, the Switch connection will be coming back in my cool things.
Okay, excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Yeah, Marty, mine actually sits in its dock almost all the time, and I use it just as a game console as opposed to a portable game device. And my favorite game is Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga. So that's the level that I'm at.
You don't do Animal Farm or Animal.
No. I did get No Man's Sky and I played it for a little while, and the way it teaches you how to play the game just was like, I can only figure out a couple things, and like how do I pick up something I just dug up out of the ground, and I couldn't figure it out, so I only recently started playing that one again. But I'm not even playing it for the goals. It's just like, hey, I figured out how I can get to another planet finally. And so now I just kind of fly around, and I'm like the worst gamer there is. Game companies must hate me. So speaking of hate, here's the part where everyone will hate me for trying to do what Patrice does so well, which is tell you about the live chat and the live stream, which ironically are not working today. So it seems completely appropriate that I'm talking about them. Okay, so on the days when everything works, we have our live stream. So that's live.britishtechnetwork.com, and it includes, just built right into that, our live chat. And so you can interact with us in real time during the shows. That's where all the show links will be for all the articles we talk about, the cool things that we have that we'll be talking about shortly. And so hopefully we will have all of that in the live chat archive shortly once we get that sorted out. So you can change your name. There's a little purple button at the top, so you can change your name from whatever fake name it comes up with for you, like Lumpy Mick Dirty Pants. I don't know. I'm sure that's a real one, but You can change your name, and then if you're not watching or listening live, which none of you are today, then what you can do to see the links is go to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat, and then there'll be a calendar there. Click on the date. And so today is Friday, May 16th, and then you'll see the archive of the live chat, and you can get all the links. So there's a possibility that once this show goes live, the recording goes live, there might be a lag of a few hours or a day or two before we have the archive part fixed. So if you don't see anything on May 16th, be patient. It should be there shortly. And yeah, doesn't it sound way better when Patrice does it? I'm just saying.
Yes. And
Yeah.
I would like to say this chat is approved by Cranky Johnson.
Cranky Johnson, that's the name I was trying to remember. Chuck Cranky Johnson Joyner.
Jeez.
By the way,
My
that is Chuck's stripper name.
It's my week in the box, man. Wow.
Apparently. There could be a show title too.
I'm writing that
Stop
down.
writing, Jeff. Stop writing.
Oh my God. This list that I have, when Tom sees it, he will be entertained.
I bet.
So, okay, for those of you playing along at home, typically what happens is Patrice keeps track of ridiculous things we say during the show. And Tom, who all of you know from the Big Show,
Show.
he takes the recordings and gets them on the published, so that well, and so what he needs is to have show titles. And so we hand off the list of potential show titles to him, and then he picks one from the list. And so yeah, when I say I have a growing list, yeah, there we go. It's getting
Man.
longer. And maybe we'll have more before we get to the end. So
Maybe.
anyhow, let's hit some cool things. And Dave, you have the first cool thing.
Well, this is a backstory. I shared this cool thing with Marty the other day, and I was I think more of it was trying to entice him to buy it because we all like to make people buy things.
Sure.
So he teased me and said, "Oh, I already bought it," because I said I wasn't going to, and then 30 minutes later, I said, "Oh, I gave in and I bought it." Well, it was supposed to get here today. I'd be here tomorrow, but I still wanted to talk about it. Yeah, he got it
I gave my wife instructions that if the UPS truck shows up during the show, that she should come in, open the door
already.
quietly, and pass it to
He
me.
hasn't even opened the box yet, but we're both aware of it. So
What do you
basically,
mean
what
I
this
haven't
is.
opened the box?
Oh, did you already open it? That's right. I said, you can't wait. You're like a kid in a candy store. So this is the Rode Wireless Micro. It's a compact wireless mouse. It comes with two mics and a smartphone content creation mic. So basically what it is, you can connect the device to the USB-C port on your iPhone and be able to record and do interviews and you sound a lot better than the mic that's on the iPhone, and you can do interviews by holding the mic, but be holding the phone as using it as a mic if you were recording it on your iPhone. So, two different mics come with it, and it has a clip on too. You clip it on there as well, and allows you to do an interview with it, but using your iPhone. Very cool, very cool, very very. I love Rode. I think Rode makes great products. You can even get a Lightning version if you happen to still have an old iPhone, and it could work with that too. You just have to buy it specifically. So I'd hate for you to do that because newer phones, iPhones these days, are USB-C. But this works with pretty much any smartphone, so it's not necessarily iPhone. It can be any smartphone that's got the USB port. So, but I love Rode. I was just showing the pre-show with the Rode mic here, that this is the Rode wireless system as well. So they make some really, really good mics, and we tested this pre-show, and it really sounds good, because I did some recordings with it too. So they're really good with their mics. So check it out. It's not very expensive. I mean, actually Amazon has it cheaper than where we bought it, because we ended up paying full price. So it was like, it's $135 versus $149 US. Check it out. It's a cool little mic, and I can't wait to get it. Mario, you'll have to tell me how it works.
Well, let me, for the video, there's the device, and there's an iPod. There's a iPods 2. It is AirPods small. AirPods 2, excuse me.
Yeah, they're really small.
It's really small connection. It's very cool in terms of...
All that stuff fits in a little case that's barely bigger than an AirPods case.
We can right. be using that for the podcast recording in MacStack too, I tell you.
Yeah, I have to go to my oncologist after this, and I'm going to try and road test it just to see how it, you know.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, I want to see, I just want to see how the quality of the sound goes with it. But so, yeah, thanks for tickling me into doing that, Dave.
Marty,
I tricked him to buy it, and then he just reciprocated the favor 30 minutes later. So,
well, that's only fair. But Marty, do you really want to record what's going on in your oncology appointment?
No. On the drive over, I've got a 30-minute drive over, because Will and I, my son, does Gear Up. We do Gear Up and Go podcast, and because he's been traveling, we've had to do the podcasts from the car. So we started looking at the roads that Dave has. This is a new device, and then we looked at the DJIs, which. In trying those, it's kind of neat in terms of the comparison. So, no, I'm not going to give you my oncology report as part of a podcast.
All right. Well, we can live in hope.
It's okay. In remission, by the way. Don't.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Okay, Marty, tell us about your cool thing. And I'm very interested in hearing your take on this cool thing, because I've been using this since the very first beta.
Really?
Yes.
Because, you know, what triggered this for me was something that you said on Dave's show last night, because you were having the same problems that I was having with Apple Mail, that I'd see it pop up and then it would disappear into some void where I couldn't find. And it's like, I knew I got an email from Chuck, but I can't find it. And other problems in terms of, you know, the mail counts were, you know, even the, you know, said that I had new mail and I didn't have mail. So I was having problems with it. So I saw this more. I saw this morning in a, I think it was in on Screencasts Online. They haven't done it yet, but there was a mention of it in some of the, either the email that came with it or something. And I'm like, ooh. A new mail app. God knows I've been through all of them and none of them make me happy. And so let me try this out. So I loaded it this morning, just about an hour before the show, and got both my Mac mail and my Google mail in it. It currently has a sale price if you want to purchase it for a year. Currently has a sale price of about $45 US.
Oh, nice.
I think it then goes up to 75 or 90 when it's not on sale. So I went ahead and dropped down the money for it. And so far, I've been real impressed with how it manages the mail scenarios for me. It has tags, it has, it has, you know, some features that you would expect. It touts itself as an information-rich email client. And so it's got tagging, you can set things in projects, you can have review dates put in, notes about particular emails if you want to include that. Different colors, of course, for different email. I have both my Google Mail and my Apple Mail in this, so they come up in different colors and flags, which are kind of essential for me to remember stuff. labels that you can put in it, and you can integrate it with a variety of accounts. It's Gmail and G Suite, iCloud Mail, Exchange, Office 365, Microsoft Outlook. I am not going to, although all of my work runs on Microsoft Outlook, I'm not going to add it to this. So the way I keep my work separate from my play is not mix the emails together. So this will be used just for my Gmail and for my Apple Mail. They consider it, it's sort of like a combination of Apple Mail and Mail Suite is how they're advertising it.
That's a
So
good way
Jeff,
to describe it.
what's your take on it?
All right, so I was using Apple Mail with Mail Suite before, and because I needed to do what Mail Suite did really well, which is let me create all of my own metadata for messages so that I can search based on anything. Because like when I have clients, there'll be project numbers. And so I can have a whole string of emails for a specific project that I can search for just based on that project number. Or if I'm going to a conference, like everything for Mac stock, all of that has its own custom tags that I've made. And it's critical for the way I organize and search for content in my email. So when mail broke the ability to have tools like this integrate in, that's when this company started working on Mail Maven. And so I got in on the beta when they first started it, and it's been cool watching all the features come together and get it to the point where they can actually have this out publicly now. But yeah, the metadata, that's the key thing for me. And it doesn't matter what the program costs, because that's such a critical feature for me, that's what I'll pay. And the great thing is, if you're using Mail Suite already, your account just slides right over into Mail Maven. So you're not having to pay for a different thing. And which is nice because Mail Suite became completely worthless to me when I couldn't use it in Apple Mail anymore. But yeah, the ability to have all of that group just the way I want projects. I haven't done a lot with that, but I've played a little bit. But holy crap, that metadata thing, that's a lifesaver for me.
Yeah, and it's Mail Maven, and you can find it at mailmaven.app. I found this setup was pretty easy because it's like, oh, looks like you're using Apple Mail. Which accounts would you like to move over? And then it was a matter of doing that setup. And it was like, do you want your subfolders? And it's like, yeah, I want my subfolders. And set it up really nice.
Yeah, it's super nice. Now, when I started using it at the beginning, that whole let's just migrate everything over from mail, that wasn't a thing yet. And I wish it had been, because that is such a cool feature. Yeah, I'm on board with Mail Maven as a cool thing.
I have not tried this, but I'm just looking at the website, and I think it's worth mentioning to folks that there is a free trial to June 30th, 2025, because it is still in beta. So if you want to take a look at this, you can try it up to, if I'm understanding that right, you can try it up to June 30th and not commit yourself. So,
Yeah, there you go.
because that makes me want to go and play with it. It's kind of hard to plunk down $45 on something that you, especially that you're going to use as frequently as a mail program, without testing it. So good on them for giving you that option.
Yep, it is my email app of choice on my Mac, and that's the only place this app exists. So I still have to use mail on my iPhone and iPad. But yeah, Mail Maven, that's my email app. Okay, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
This is a cool thing that pretty much everybody saw coming with me. If I can get this thing up, it is a game controller. Okay. For anybody who listens to a certain Mac adjacent podcast called NPC Next Portable Console, there's this little company out of China called Ambernic that makes all sorts of crazy Game Boy emulator type thingies. Well, this isn't it. This is their controller. It is compatible with Apple, PC, Nintendo Switch, your choice of wired, Bluetooth, or 2.4 gigahertz. It's got Hall effect joysticks, so no drift. It's got textured back for holding on to this thing. Feels great. It's got paddle, signable paddles on the back. This is a controller that I would gladly pay about $40 to $60 on. Right now it's on sale for 25 bucks.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, this is the level of controller that you expect for 25 bucks. And this completely blows it out of the water. Not only for quality, but for the amount of platforms. It's literally you game on your Switch, then you game on your Mac. You don't even need a new controller.
Very cool. And 25 bucks.
Yeah, 20,
Nice.
30 regularly.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Well, maybe I have to pick up another game controller. You know,
Oh, yeah.
for my Nintendo Switch, that's really just a console.
Yes, and did I mention RGB surrounds around the joysticks?
Oh, cool. So you can watch your joysticks instead of the screen.
Exactly.
That's what I would do. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Okay, Chuck, what's your cool thing?
So my cool thing is something that Insta360 demoed for me in Vegas at NAB. It's not going to have a wide audience here, but it's so cool, I have to point it out. It's called the Insta360 Connect. It's a 4K AI conference room camera. And I've, at the risk of self-promotion, go check out the video because the video is a little strange because I didn't have Norbert with me as a camera person, so we just had to do a static setup. But this has two cameras built in. One's on a gimbal, one is fixed, and it uses AI to identify who's talking. It lets you select between different modes so that if Jeff and I were sitting in one corner of a conference room, it'll just cut the rest of the room out and just zoom in on us. If you wanted to show the full conference room empty, you can do that. But it also has the capability of identifying up to eight separate individuals and putting them on screen individually in their own boxes, sort of like we have here on Zoom for this. But this is all, you know, translating the physical world into this. It is truly amazing, the versatility of this and how well it worked. The demo just blew me away. It's like this is great. Now, I put an Amazon link in. It is about $2,000. Okay, but if you have a need for a conference room camera, because you know there've been several tries at this kind of thing that really didn't work out, and I think it was principally because we weren't at that 4K level yet. Now we've got 4K, and the fact that they use two different cameras and sort of interpolate different ways of doing it this way is kind of what makes it a game changer. So go and look at it. If nothing else, it's just unbelievably cool, and you just know that this is going to be technology that translates down eventually to other products and other things. But yeah, it's really nice. And Insta360, of course, they've just got this amazing reputation for
They do.
action cams and doing things different with cameras instead of just doing a me too. Oh yeah, we've got an action cam. We've got this. We've got that. They really do bring different features and different things to their products.
I can add a comment on that because I do have experience using those because I work with conference rooms all the time at work. So, majority of the all the ones that we have are Logitech, and Logitech's been kind of the de facto standard in that market with those kind of cameras with the Rally Cam and such too. Teams also has it built in where it depending on I know, but get, it's the world that that does the same thing where it brings. Like I was doing a test video the other day, and as soon as we came on, the camera came on, and it zoomed right into the two people that were in the room, me and someone else, and that's what it does. So they've got that built in as well. I'd be interesting to see how that would relate to what this does with the 4K. You know, that's a great, that's about a good, that's a, that price is actually about right. That's not that terribly expensive. They can be a lot more depending on this, but for 4K, I think that's a good pricing, but like you said, I don't think the audience here is gonna. There's not gonna be much of an audience for it. It's probably for our viewers and listeners, but it's definitely somebody who is influencing with making purchases for AV in conference rooms. So this is a really nice device.
In other words, web. If you're th if you if you need if your company needs it, buy it.
And I should have mentioned too, I was so focused on the video, but there's a 14 mic array, so that
Yeah,
you know
that too.
the audio delivery is amazing.
Yeah, there's
So
very similar products. Logitech, they have those mic arrays in there as well. The mic's pretty good for sound. I can imagine what S360 is gonna be even better.
yeah,
I would
so
be tempted to put large stuffed animals in all the chairs. So, and then whoever dials in, it's sort of like, yeah, I'm here at my conference. And here are all the other people who are there.
Yes, over here we have Mr. Fluffies, and over here we have Cupcake, and yeah,
These are
I
all
want
my
to
furry friends.
all my furry
Hey,
friends.
but
I'd like to
you're
get
right.
one of these from MacStock and just take it and set it up in a conference, you know, a
Yeah.
meeting room for the week, so or
Maybe
the weekend.
you can get them to send one.
Send you a demo.
Or
Yeah.
you could poke me enough, Chuck. Maybe I'll buy one. I
I'm
don't
just
need
gonna
it,
say,
but.
Marty.
I draw the line here. I can't buy
Yeah.
that.
You just
Oh.
push me to Mail Maven, Marty. It's only appropriate that, you know.
And
Yes.
you know, Marty, when you're talking to your wife and she's like, "You spent what on this?" Well, honey, it was either this or an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Though I do have to say, if the stuffed animals start talking, run.
Okay, Ted. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My cool thing, I'm bringing Lego today. This
Of
should not be a
course.
surprise. Brand new kit that will be available on June 1st, but it's you can pre-order it now. And it's a book nook made out of Lego. And I have seen a lot of people make their own Lego book nooks, and they're, you know, they're just really cool. I love book nooks. Why do I not have one myself? I don't know. Anyhow, this one, it's the first one that that they have, and it comes out from their Icons collection. And so it's Sherlock Holmes, and so it's kind of cool. They built it with a hinge, so you can have it just as a display thing, and so it's a street. And you can have Sherlock Holmes and Watson and Moriarty and some other characters on the street. And like the storefronts, they have little hinges so you can open them up and you see like a little wall of things from inside the store. But the main hinge, if you fold it together, now becomes a book nook. So you have this alley that sits between your books. And it just looks really cool. And what I'm hoping is that this is the first in a series of book nooks that Lego makes. And so we can get a bunch of different other scenes. And actually, it'd be cool if they made like a book nook that was just a bunch of parts so you could design your own as opposed to having a specific theme. I'm assuming that if this if this sells well, that we could then later on see like a Star Wars book nook or
A Twilight book nook.
they do have a license for Twilight. So yeah, you could get a Twilight book nook or
I just
Stranger
have one.
Things.
Yeah, I just have a question on the Twilight one. Does Marvel also, or the does Lego also have a Marvel license? Can I so I can bring in Blade?
They do have a Marvel license. Yes. So, yes, they have Marvel and DC. So you can bring in Blade. That is not a problem. Maybe have Constantine come in for some help too. Cover both the
Shades of
franchises.
Grey. They need to do the Shades of Grey series.
It's kind of funny because one of the suggested kits from Lego fans is Shades of Grey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
Is
anyhow,
and
sure.
1,359 pieces.
Yeah, so it's a good price per brick, and it comes with several minifigures. So and every minifigure you add bumps up the price. $129 for this, and you get 1,359 pieces, so it's less than a dime a brick, which puts it in the really good price point range for Lego kits. The a dime a brick, that's like the baseline. If you hit that, okay, it's fairly priced. If it's lower than or less than a dime a brick, that's a really good price. And if it's more than a dime a brick, then it's probably a Star Wars set. Licensing. Okay, so there we go. Cool things. And with that, it is now time to wrap up, especially since we have run over just a few minutes. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here most Fridays on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if they ever give me those off ever again. You can find me on In Touch with Dave Ginsberg and MagForces Live with Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. Awesome. And speaking of Chuck, where can people find you?
Can find me at excuse me. Come find me at macvoices.com. I mentioned the NAB show interviews. They are still coming out, slow but sure. We are also doing the Road to Mac Stock series, where I think most of the people here, as far as I know, will be at Mac Stock. We'd love to have you join us. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. And excuse me, Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS, in touch with iOS.com. I'm on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesdays, here on Fridays, and you occasionally on Vision Profiles, as well as you can find me on Mastodon and Blue Sky at Dave G65. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome. And Marty, your turn. Where can people find you?
Easily find all my stuff on the podtalk.net, but the show that I put my heart and soul into is on Monday nights with Vision Profiles, where we talk about VR and AR headsets and what's happened that week in terms of the news. You can also, I've got other shows on Wednesday, Old Mac Gang, and I've got Gear Up and Go with my son. Again, all of that on the podtalk.net. I have the pleasure of being on Mac Voices on Tuesday night with Chuck and also in touch with iOS on Thursdays with Dave.
Awesome. Well, excuse me. Okay, now for me, social media, Jay Gamut everywhere, and apparently my voice is now failing. Wow, sorry about that. Okay, Jay Gamut everywhere. I'm active on Mastodon, in Pixel Fed, and Blue Sky, and then for shows, Chuck's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Excuse me, Dave's in touch with iOS on Thursdays. I'm working on my gravelly voice. Yeah,
Yeah, he's Batman.
I'm Batman, and Batman is on the British Tech Network, the big show on Thursdays, and the Mac show on Fridays. How am I doing with my Batman voice?
Pretty darn good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And then Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and Patrice Brindamore and I do Retro Rewatch. I think that's all the shows. Oh, you've mentioned Max Stock. I believe all of us are going to be at Max Stock this year. And Dave and Marty and I will be speaking. Chuck, you are taking the year off from being a speaker. Is that correct?
I'm taking the year off, or I'm the emergency. I'm an emergency speaker. If anyone else folds, you know, I may be pressed into service.
Designated hitter is what we call it in baseball.
He's going to be doing his NAB coverage at MaxDoc.
But I don't know baseball, so I'll take your word for it, Marty.
Also, well, I'm glad you're going to be there. And
absolutely.
Okay. I have a discount code, JGamut50. So if you want to get a discount off of every pass you buy, you can use that, JGamut50. And the dates are what, July
11th, 12th, and 13th.
11th, 12th, and 13th. So it's 3 days of content and hanging out with really cool people and me. So come join us at Max Stock. It's a lot of fun. All right. Yes. So with that, it is really time to wrap up. Thank you to all of you for being so wonderful and putting a smile on my face and on Batman's face. Batman doesn't smile except for you.
And Catwoman. And Poison Ivy and all the other ladies.
Because Batman
likes the ladies.
Come on back to my Batcave. I will show you my Batarang.
Because I'm Batman.
All right, another show title. I'm Batman. holy crap. Can you believe Ewan still lets me host shows? What is up with that? Anyhow, thank you to all of you for putting a smile on my face this morning. This is this is a great way to wrap up the week. So hey, everyone that watches or listens live, when we actually have the live stream working, thank you for all of you that do that. For this week, everyone, thank you for watching or listening to the recording. And hopefully we'll have all those links for you in the live chat archive by the time you're watching or listening. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And I hope you're doing better soon. And don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Then come back on Friday for the Mac show. And did I get the shows in the right order? I think I did. Anyhow, and maybe, just maybe, my brain will be functioning. That's kind of a big ask. Or maybe my brain will be functioning. Who knows? I still can't believe that Ewan lets me host shows. Anyhow, all of you have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you again next week.